It's time for the WJBM Outdoor Show, presented by Midwest Tractor Sales. We'll hear from your host, Aaron Quillen, after this.
New Holland CR Twin Rotor Combines from Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville put more premium grain in the bin and save you money while doing it. Compared to competitive brand combines, CR Twin Rotor Combines lose significantly less grain. Independent third-party test results prove it. And CR Twin Rotor Combines use less fuel and harvest faster to save you real money. Finish your season sooner with more grain safely in the storage bin. See Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville about New Holland CR Twin Rotor Combines. They give you performance that pays.
Welcome to the WJBM Outdoor Show, brought to you by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. We're coming to you from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-County. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple, kill big deer. With us today, we've got three guests. This is at least 3 years in the making. We have Jason Desolitz, Tom Heatwall, and Tommy Heatwall, son of Tom. Guys, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having
us.
Absolutely. So this is multiple years in the making. You guys coming down, y'all are from Michigan. Jay, you're from
Algonac.
Yeah, Algonac, which is
southeast.
Yep, but you're kind of thumb.
Yeah,
right there across. You're looking at Canada.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and guys, you're from the thumb as well.
That's right, just outside of Flint, northeast, about a half an hour, the metropolis of Columbiaville, 1,500 people.
Okay, all right. Well, around here we can appreciate towns that size. So we're talking years in the making. Jay, you've been coming down here hunting. Do you even remember what year you started?
At least 20, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, probably 04, 05, mm-hmm. something like
yeah.
that.
Right.
Deer hunting, we've become great friends. And
yep.
So then through you, we meet Tom, and you guys do a bow fishing tournament together.
Mm-hmm. We've been bow fishing together for probably 20 years. It's been, yeah. been a while. Well,
yeah.
Tommy's 18, and it was before that. So we've been bow fishing quite a long time.
Okay.
We do the Great Lakes Bow Fishing Championship up there in Caseville, Michigan.
Okay.
And it's a good-sized tournament for sure.
All right. And so, Tommy, how long have you been bow fishing?
I've been bow fishing probably about 10 years.
Okay.
I haven't really started using a bow until probably about a year or two ago.
Okay.
I've used a spear most of my life.
Awesome.
You were younger than that when you first started, but you were just kind of on the boat hanging out. Not...
I was thinking when I actually started doing
stuff. Yeah, yeah. Tommy was didn't quite have enough strength. He was a little light in the tail to pull back a bow, so he had a trident spear on a painter's pole that we put together for him, and man, he could put in work with that thing.
Awesome.
He could put in work, for sure. He would be talking to my friends on the boat, and they would have little competitions, and a lot of times he would beat them. As a matter of fact, I don't think you ever got beaten.
I've been beat a couple of times, but it's pretty rare.
It's kind of funny, a little boy in, you know, with braces talking smack and backing it up. It's a lot of fun, and you know, it's just good camaraderie, good fun stuff.
Yeah, well, Tommy, with an attitude like that, I can see how you'd be a good wrestler.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy. So for like 3-4 years, you know, Tom, since we met, we've been talking about bow fishing.
At the SCI dinner, yeah.
Yeah, you got a sweet rig. Is this a different boat than what you had a few years back?
Well, no, I think I got it about 5 years ago. So,
okay.
Yeah, it would have been about the same time, switched from the Go Devil to the Sea Arc.
Okay, and then last night, we were talking a little bit about a platform that was on the back of it. Was that this boat or the prior?
Prior.
Okay.
Prior. So that was an 18-foot Go Devil boat, and we had a platform on the front and on the back, and it had a lot of lights on it, and that one might have been a little bit more conducive for this kind of shooting. But
well, so then I think we've been talking about this for longer than 3 to 4 years then.
Could have been.
Very
because,
well.
Yeah, I feel like platforms on the boat were something that was always in my memory about, you know, before you guys got down and I saw the rig and you
very
know
possible
yeah. yeah so anyways long time in the making
yeah, yeah.
and I guess what I've gathered from this is you being a big time bow fisherman, that seems to be one of your absolute passions.
Yes, for
and
sure.
Wanting to come down here, you know, after some different species.
I tell you, bow fishing, I look forward to it like I do the open air gun season. I mean, it is special because it's the combination of fishing and hunting. And if you like archery, and you, I mean, that's the thing, is you get to constantly shoot. What do you guys think?
Absolutely. Yep. Nonstop.
You know, it's action. Nonstop action.
It's action.
Yeah. And I think,
and you don't have to be quiet, right?
Right. Well, bow fishing, I think, is somewhat popular here. I don't know a whole lot of people that do it consistently. There are a lot of guys that have, you know, rigs, you know, an old bow, not necessarily a bow fishing specific bow, which, you know, I think the main difference besides the pull is much lighter, the snap shooting capabilities is, mm-hmm. I think, what you're targeting there, yeah. when you get a more specific.
Yeah.
But lots of people around here, I think, have them, but they usually are hanging off the side of a bridge, mm-hmm. or in a flooded field out of, I guess, a boat that's a little bit less specific. You don't see a lot of boats around here with the lights.
Yep.
For yeah. doing this at night.
Well, we certainly haven't seen any.
Right. And you don't see that very often.
So you have an amazing fishery here. There's certainly no shortage of fish to get after, for sure. I've never seen anything like it.
No.
And so some of the species that were important to you guys in coming down, the Asian flying carp or silver carp,
mm-hmm.
and then which we have we found those.
Yeah, we found a lot of those. They found us.
And then the big head, which we haven't gotten into those yet.
No, we've not found any big head. We did shoot some short-nosed gar last night. That was another bucket list thing. So
okay.
We're always trying to get new species. Yeah.
All right.
Well.
So let's talk about these flying Asian carp or the silver carp. What? I sent you a video of the wells out on, I'm assuming, the Mississippi River. I just saw it on Instagram right before you guys were getting here, a couple of days before that. But what were you thinking was going to be the case?
I am surprised.
Yeah, I was not expecting the amount of fish.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It was,
yeah.
I
mean, I'm impressed with how many fish are flying in the boat and how many we're missing because they're everywhere. We're just missing all of them.
Yeah.
It is the most frustrating and the coolest thing at the same time because you're really timing them flying. I mean, you're trying to time them flying or when they land in the water. Because of the clarity of the water, it's really hard to see them before they're jumping out of the boat and...
Or knocking.
Right, you hitting over. You in the head or hitting your arrow. I mean, we've had them jump right over the 72-inch boat. It's they're at one point there, we had 14 or 15 that had jumped in the boat.
Yeah, 15.
Yeah, and like
that stayed
in the boat that we had to put in the 55-gallon barrel, which we almost filled to the top last night.
Yeah. Man.
It's fun.
Okay, so... With the boat, right? This is a boat primarily dedicated to bow fishing. It has other capabilities. We're going to catfish from it tonight. But with your boat, like, what are some of the things that are special about this boat that make it such a good bow fishing setup?
Forward steers.
Yeah, really. Definitely that kicker motor with the forward steer.
Yep.
It draws very, very little water. So you can get into like a foot of water.
Okay.
There's lights on the bow and on all around the boat except for the very back of the boat.
Okay, so the lights, those are LED.
That's correct.
What power lights are those?
So there's some 50s, and then they're actually were made specifically for UTVs or side by sides or the light bars.
Okay.
So they're what's at the bottom. And I went with two different colors. I went with a bright white and then a more of a a darker light, kind of an amber.
Almost like an amber.
And the reason that the amber is supposed to cut through the dark water better, and then the brighter light is supposed to go through the clearer water better. So kind of the try to get both, but
they're DC lights.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Powered by an AC generator through a
inverter.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So it's just, that's your standard Ryobi AC generator.
Yep.
And I'd imagine that's a lot like those little, what do you call them, a briefcase Honda generator?
Got it at Home Depot for probably $500.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
Crazy.
And so then that generator is running, was it five lights across the front? Four or five?
Oh, no, there's six. There's six, eight. There's 10 of the bar lights, and then we've got another four of the LEDs.
Okay, yeah. So that's right, because there's like the LEDs are like a big square.
That's right.
And then the bar lights, those are like an assembly that go on the top of like a side-by-side or something like that.
And I used to know the total lumens on everything, and I don't know that any longer, but it's bright. It's bright. It lights it up for sure.
Yep.
Imagine turning on when you come home at night, you got an aquarium, the lights are off, and you turn that light on the aquarium, what that looks like. Clear water, it's much the same. Can't wait to take you to Saginaw Bay.
Oh, man. So
much clearer.
Yeah.
It's a different deal.
Yeah. So you guys being in Michigan, and primarily bow fishing in Michigan, the difference between, I guess, Saginaw Bay's that's Lake Huron water, right?
That's correct.
And very clear.
Most parts of it, yes.
Yeah, and so you're able to see. I mean,
you fish 4 or 5 feet down.
Yeah. It's a target-rich environment for sure.
Yeah. Yes, and the species up there are much different.
That's correct.
Your goldies, which is a unique phenomenon.
The most invasive species we have right now. This is what the DNR was saying when they were doing a census. So a lot of these fish are non-native. You can look on the Illinois website and you can see the native and non-native ones, but are the goldfish, even more so than the carp. When they're doing the sensors and they're shocking the fish and doing the numbers, and the goldfish now, what was it, 15 years ago, shooting a goldfish was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's commonplace. And within the last 20 years, we're seeing them starting to change colors now. They're no longer gold. They are a shiny black. They're a shiny silver. I mean,
sometimes white. Yeah. With a patching.
Really?
I mean, Tommy beats them up with that spear.
Yeah.
Okay. And so how did they get in Lake Huron?
Brother, I don't know, but I can tell you this. We have an acre pond, and my wife, her friend from work, put 8 goldfish in our acre pond, and now we have hundreds.
Really?
Oh, man. They are just prolific.
But essentially, these are the goldfish that get pet store goldfish.
Yeah.
You go to Walmart, and you buy a goldfish.
Yeah.
And then these end up in Lake Huron. And,
3-4 I mean, Jay shot a big one.
Over 4. Yeah, 4-something.
4-pound goldfish is a good goldfish.
That is a monster goldfish.
Yeah.
Okay. So that might even be like a bait fish thing. If people were using goldfish for a bait fish and they got off, or...
I think they did that at one time, didn't they?
Probably.
I think they made that illegal, but I think at one time that's true that you could use goldfish for bait.
That makes sense.
Okay. Somehow they got in there, and that's... something totally unique. I had no idea that was even a thing until I was there and saw them.
Well, when did the flying carp start? When did that happen here?
I would say it started 15 years ago.
And now look at it. There's thousands.
Yeah, it got...
Millions.
Millions.
It got bad fast.
Hundreds. I mean... tens of millions. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I would say something like that, but not quite at that level for the goldfish. You know, a lot of the carp are non-native too.
Okay.
Right? You have a lot of these great big ocean-going vessels that would disperse their bills, or they have tanks on there, and the non-natives would be released. Now they can't do that, but
okay.
That's what happened a lot of times in the Great Lakes.
Okay.
That's how the zebra mussels were introduced and a bunch of other things.
Okay. And what are some of the other species that y'all generally bowfish for? The carp, the goldie?
Dogfish. Yeah.
Okay.
Bullhead.
All right.
Cats.
Yep.
Okay. And
Then there's four different kinds of carp. You got the common, you got the grassy, you got the mirror. Oh, I forget the other one. And then here you have even more of the different types of carp.
Okay.
Oh.
And so, again, it's so strange that we have all these fish here. And I know there's a tournament a couple hours north, maybe Beardstown or north of there on the Mississippi. They do a tournament every year where it's get as many of these carp as you can.
Yeah.
I've even seen, I think, videos of people. Well, if you've seen videos of people catching flying carp with nets and, you know, pull behind rafts and just all these creative ways, that's this tournament north of here. And so there's some exposure here locally, but there's nobody doing it.
Yeah, you have an untapped resource here for sure. I can't imagine. It is a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun. You'd have a lot of people that would really enjoy that. One of my favorite things to do is to take new people bow fishing. And without fail, I haven't had one person yet that didn't fall in love with the sport. And I mean, I take people that don't hunt or fish, and they love it.
Oh, it's cool.
Taking kids, it's just great.
It's one of the most action-packed.
Yeah, because we're running a generator. We don't got to be quiet. We're just having fun.
Right. Shoot till you can't shoot anymore.
Right.
don't want to shoot anymore.
Your arm's tired, right? No, that's what we were doing last night, right? We were going over the gar and we were just...
done with it.
I mean, they had a huge huge mayfly hatch last night, and they were on the top of the water, and there was gar everywhere. Everywhere. Just going over them.
Yep.
By that time, even Tommy was done.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be in shape. You're a young man.
Well, I was having some bow troubles as well. I was like, yeah, whatever. I'm
over here. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
See more and do more in a new 300 series compact track loader from New Holland. Its industry-leading 360-degree visibility is truly something to see at Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. With its reverse camera and 8-inch multifunction LCD display, Super Boom lift technology, rock-solid stability, and redesigned controls, you'll work with greater speed, safety, and precision. Maximum productivity starts with a clear view. Stop by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville today and see how a new 300 series compact track loader helps you do more. Jonathan Prane with Tarrant and Harmon Real Estate and Auction Company is a full-time land broker who can help you maximize your hard-earned dollars. Call Jonathan for a free assessment and to assist you in selling or finding your income-producing farm, dream hunting spot, rural home, or investment property. Jonathan Prane with Tarrant and Harmon Real Estate and Auction Company. Call 618-225-0568. 618-225-0568.
Welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show, brought to you by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. We're coming to you from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, voice of the Tri-County. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple: kill big deer. And returning, we have Jason, Tom, and Tommy, the bow fishermen from Michigan that have been teaching me quite a bit about what bow fishing is. We've been out on the Illinois and the Mississippi. It was, you know, really a request where you guys wanted to come see what we could do here in Illinois. Interesting enough to go back when we were trying to plan this over the past 3-4 years, and we talk about it, you know, I thought I was under the perception of like, all right, a flood. When a flood is up, that's when we'll go bow fishing. And so it made it really difficult to kind of coordinate, and probably a big reason why it took so long. So here we are this year, and we've kind of, what was initially set up We ended up having to push that back a couple weeks. I think there was some, you took the boat out and you had a couple issues you wanted to tend to before you came down.
And a graduation.
And that's right. We had a graduation.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Big party.
Tommy.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to brag on him. He graduated with honors. He also made states individual at 126 and team states in wrestling.
That's awesome.
He had a really good high school career.
That's amazing, man.
Thank you.
A lot of hard work goes into that.
Yeah.
I mean,
a lot of weight cutting at 26.
Yeah.
Yeah. Days and days.
Yep.
Dedication.
It builds character in young men like very few other sports. And I was a football guy. You're a wrestling guy. You were a wrestling guy. Yep. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we first started out when we went. And we went and we tried basically a duck lake because, nope. Hey, fish in a barrel. Yep. We're trapped in here. And we had some of the, you know, a little bit of the jumping, the flying carp, but water clarity.
Yeah.
And just we weren't tough. Seeing into the water.
Yep, tough.
It was really shallow. We couldn't get on the motor like we would have liked to, and yeah, it was just
to get them going.
A lot of stumps in there, and I could not see to navigate in there.
Yeah,
and yeah, it was. I have no doubt if that was clear water, we'd still be there shooting fish.
Okay,
it was a target-rich environment. We just couldn't see them.
Yeah, so then we picked up and we moved over to the Mississippi River.
Yeah,
where we just started cruising up it the was bank, cool. And they start jumping.
Yeah, everywhere. So I'd say one of the big differences was the Mississippi River seemed to have maybe not quite the numbers of the where we were at yesterday, but man, they had some big silvers. Goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So observation wise, it seemed like the bigger fish were in the Mississippi right now versus a little bit more concentration. And a little bit smaller fish seem to be, you know, jumping over on the Illinois side.
Yeah.
In this area, but again, yeah. We've only been here two days.
We covered
very short sample size.
Area we've covered, as, you know, vast and big as it is, we've covered nothing hardly.
Yeah.
You would not have a hard time finding silver carp flying. I mean, just drive your boat.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Drive your boat.
So we should probably drive down a little bit into what is going, like how this is done. So you're running a kicker motor, which is a 10 horse behind your CR, 22 feet?
It's a 20 foot, 72 inch at the back.
Okay. And you've got the lights up. It seems like they're jumping better at night, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I would say that's
they
fair.
They did.
Okay. At least, again, in the short sample size we've had.
Mm-hmm. All right. I mean,
they do jump in the day, for sure.
Totally can be done in the day.
Yep. Yeah.
And so, basically, based off the vibration from the motor, which everybody that's, you know, around here and goes and participates in River Days sees a lot of these. But the vibration from the motor is what forces these things to jump.
It was very strange. We would watch them come from the banks because you can just see the shadows, and they would come next to the boat and then start jumping. It was like almost like they're attracted to the vibration.
Yeah.
You can see the ripples in the water. You can't really see the fish, and then you'll see like just a shadow, and then they'll right up in the air. It's cool.
And so then you got to shoot them.
Well, yeah. That's the idea.
That's what they're telling us. That's what we've heard.
All right. So how many have we shot?
Very few.
Right. But
so shot
first
at,
night, Kyle,
shot at.
Kyle shot two the first night.
Total of
six.
We've
shot six total.
Yeah. We've had a few that have been shot and they've gotten off.
Yep.
But actually landed six. Now, mind, we've probably gotten close to 1,000 pounds of fish just from jumping in the boat.
Yeah. Right.
mean, I so when you fill that barrel completely up, it's 550, and we were really close to that last night.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and that, and you know what, and the displacement with this, it could have been over 500 pounds of that barrel last night easily.
Okay.
Easily.
And that's what we need. I mean, this is invasive species. These things, there's nothing stopping them from growing.
I'm concerned that they get into the Great Lakes, what that will do to that fishery.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly it's taken over.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, so when we're... To me, it seemed like the best thing to do was identify, and I was just there for the first night, and then in the day, you know, kind of getting settled in yesterday during the afternoon for a few hours. But it seemed like certain land features along the banks where it may protrude outwards, like, or inwards towards the waterway, seemed to be where they were stocking up. Or there was a higher population, that seemed to be when they were jumping the most. Kyle kind of said something similar while we were fishing the other night, so I felt like, okay, he's seeing that too. So when we'd get close to something, that's when I felt like it was best to just pull back.
Yeah.
And be ready.
And be ready.
Be ready, yeah.
And, you know, I kind of would just pull back and count to three or four real slowly, let down for a minute. And then do the, is that what you guys think is?
So what I noticed yesterday, and I had said to both of you, that when that first one jumps, I don't even attempt to even,
get ready.
Because as soon as you see one, you're gonna see more.
Okay. Right?
So don't even attempt to even get on that first fish, because by the time you're ready, it's gone. It's too late.
Yeah, and you're just surprised that one's jumping right next to you, hitting you in the side of the head. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
So last night I would say that we were finding much more fish around structure. Wouldn't you say it?
Yeah.
All the blowdowns, stumps, logs,
and where them drainage runs.
That's right. The big, I mean, they have the spillways, the big ditches that go back into the
where the river rocks.
Yeah, right, like the snies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that was on, what river were we on?
The Illinois, and then we went up Macoupin Creek.
Macoupin Creek, yes. Yep. That's where we did a lot of shooting last night.
Yep.
Okay. So, I haven't connected with one yet. I'm the last person to even, what are you guys doing? Tonight when we go, what do I have to do?
Luck.
Yeah. Brother. I wish
shoot
I had
more.
An answer.
Shoot
Bring
more.
A shotgun.
Yeah.
Shoot as much as you can.
Cause yeah.
Sooner or later.
You're going to hit one.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just missing over the top, and then I'm like, I need to aim lower. Then I was just missing underneath. And so
that's the fun of it, right?
It's awesome. It
frustrating.
Is
frustrating.
Yes.
Yeah.
But fun.
Well, when you're used to hitting them like we are.
Right.
Yeah. But it's still... I mean, you can't do this in the archery world, you know? Get this many shots at live targets. There's nothing like it.
The practice is unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. So, again, one jumps out. Get ready for the second or the third or the 20th.
The 50th, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And so you're drawing back. Are you guys drawing back in anticipation then?
Tommy was. I was not, because I was running
ways.
The kicker motor.
Okay.
I was doing it both ways.
What seemed to be better?
I don't know. I only shot two, so I'm no professional.
Shoot and hope for the best. I don't know. It's just kind of like, oh, you see one, just kind of get ready.
Okay. We're going to have to, I'm going to have you guys send me some videos, or we'll take some good videos tonight. We're going to have to put it on our Facebook, just so people, everybody's seen this jump. You know, when you're boating on the river, but when you're right in the middle of it, and
it's incredible.
Did anybody not get hit by a fish yet?
Oh,
I've been hit like 5 times.
Yeah,
multiple.
Okay, so
you just get used to it. It's crazy.
You almost need a hockey helmet.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then they bleed as soon as they get on the boat.
Yeah,
they're crazy. Flopping around.
Okay, so we really haven't narrowed down a technique in terms of drawback or to not drawback.
Give us a couple months.
Okay. And then, aside from this 10-horse kicker, you got a 115 on the back of your C-Arc. You know, seemed like the kicker was working sufficiently for vibration. And then you trim up to where the water's still getting into the engine to keep it cool.
But we have the jack plate up at this highest point because with that, the whole thing is you want to keep it in the water where it's cycling the water, but you don't want to have it too deep, at least back home, because then it's more weed issues. So get it just below the water surface.
And I don't really know for sure if the generator may even help.
It could.
With the vibration that's producing through an aluminum hulled boat.
Yeah.
It very well could be producing some vibration also that may work. Help. Yeah. Maybe better.
Okay. Did you notice a difference yesterday afternoon to after dark yesterday?
We seen way more fish.
Way
last
more
night.
At night. Yep. And you know the only way to test that would be to run the Jenny during the day and see what happens.
Yeah. We seen a lot more fish at night last night.
For sure. For sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. With these, all right. So with the bow setup, let's talk a little bit about that. You've got five different bows, and then Jay, you're lefty, so you have your bow. That's six bows came down on the trip. What brand of bows are you using?
I think we got them all covered. Yeah. We have two AMSs, right? We have two Cajuns.
I have a PSE.
Well, we have two Muzzies, right?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Muzzies.
We have two Muzzies, not AMS. The one is a PSE Piranha, and then I personally shoot a Sucker Punch. Okay. And then we have different style reels. We have the bottle style reels, and then the...
Yep, Zebco style reel.
Which is the Muzzy.
Yep.
There is.
I guess, really, we just don't have an Oneida.
right. And we should. They're a local company.
Right.
All right. And so the Zebco is kind of like your closed face reel. It goes kind of where your traditional stabilizer would be, and you click that before you shoot. The other with the bottle style is you got the line in a bottle, and you shoot the arrow, and to retrieve the arrow, there's a trigger device, a trigger mechanism that you creates tension on the line, and that's what allows you to reel it in.
I would say the advantage of the bottle style is you don't have to push the button. You don't have to think about it. And also with the thread, it's much thicker. So when you're retrieving your fish, you don't have the opportunity to cut your hand like you would with the fast flight.
I think, too, and this doesn't really matter because we don't shoot much distance, but I think the bottle has less resistance when the string comes out, you know, than like it. Wrapped around a spool,
yeah,
because you're coming off of a spool. Yep. So I think, I mean, there was times last night where I'm like, Tommy, you're lying, and you know, there'd be 40 yards in the water because it literally falls out of the bottle because there's no resistance there, you know,
right?
Yep, right,
okay.
But that stuff is tough. You stick an arrow, like back home, we're shooting much shallower water, and you can stick an arrow in the ground and pull the boat completely around trying to get the arrow out of the ground and stuff, and it will not break unless you wrap it around a kicker motor
or if you don't push the button.
Or if you don't push the button, there's
that does it too.
Yeah, for sure.
We've all done it.
Right after you say, hey Tommy, don't forget to push the button.
We've all done it.
I mean, there's just, it's hard to recap what I've seen in two times ago. And I mean, some of it I hope we don't have to recap.
Right.
Like what?
Me too.
Like what are you talking about?
I mean, I think that there might be a difference in structure where you're fishing.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's oddly enough, there's a lot of cattails up there in that environment for what I've seen.
A lot of fried mites.
Okay. And then, so you got your little runs through the cattails, and then you got a lot of like, algae under there.
Vegetation.
Yeah.
A lot of vegetation.
Sure. Yeah. But it's clear water and you can kind of see the structure and you see the fish next to the structure just doing fish things. As to where here, you know, you get up in a creek like that, you're going to run into stumps.
Yeah.
You might. You might run into a stump or two.
You may.
And to see the face on Jason as we were hitting a stump and he was leaving the boat.
Doing the doggy paddle.
Oh, my goodness. That was wild.
Yeah.
It was. you couldn't see the stump.
Nope.
As we're turning the boat, right, the back end is swinging wide, and it just...
And that boat doesn't draw much more than a foot of water, and we could not see that stump.
Yeah.
Yeah. And next thing you know,
oh,
we're out the boat.
Yeah. Doing the doggy paddle.
Hit the ejection button, and I'm gone.
Yeah.
Fortunately, nobody was hurt.
No. Nope.
Thank but God.
Did lose a pair of glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But found his bow.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Barely.
I know.
And so now we have custom croquis with the bobber on it.
Yep.
Yes.
For future.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You got to explain that now.
All right. So we went to Dollar General, and a little string that goes around your glasses to put them on your neck.
Yep.
Yep.
Jay, this is your design. Yeah, you should explain it.
I clipped a bobber to the string.
Now you have a flotation device on your glasses.
Exactly. And you're a style icon.
Yeah, yeah.
There it is. There it is.
All right, so as a fashion icon,
yep.
You know.
You're starting a trend.
Yeah, stay in the boat. Stay in the boat.
But if you need a flotation device for your... glasses,
right?
Yeah.
Get a bobber.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anybody going out during the day, some bobbers.
Yep.
On a set of croquis, or that's what I always called them growing up.
Yep.
And then,
maybe a pool noodle on your bow limbs.
Okay.
Oh, there's an idea.
Yeah.
So Tommy's first spear was an old ice fishing head, an old steel one, and then we got a painter's pole, you know, which you can collapse and get, and then I put a pool noodle on the end of that, and he has beat the fish to death with that thing. And the nice thing is, you know, if he sticks it in the ground in front of the boat and we're going over it, he can just let it go,
uh-huh.
You know, circle around and get it, you know.
Okay,
there we go. Pool all noodles,
right. Yep. I might wear one around my waist.
It wasn't that deep when you were standing on that stump.
We're going to need some of those floatable koozies.
There's the next one you're going to have for Monarch Outdoors, your floatable koozies.
Yeah. All right. So as going back to the progression of last night, Mississippi River edge, then we put in there at yesterday we put in at Diamond, we went around Diamond, got in Macoupin Creek,
mm-hmm.
And that's where we started to see more species in the water. This debatably more clear in Macoupin Creek,
nominally, but it is clear because we could see when we got I could see when you got to the Illinois River, where they came together, there you could see a divide between the two clarities of water.
Okay, where the Illinois and Macoupin met.
That's correct.
Okay. And so the whole strategy behind that was there's enough water in the creek to, you know, get the boat up there, and the rain to the north would have been maybe creating cloudier water in the rivers. You know, and particularly in the Mississippi, because the watershed from Wisconsin, you know, and that direction is what comes through the Mississippi, and then the Illinois River starts, you know, Chicago River, and then Sangamon becomes the Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And so as that's, the Kankakee River becomes Illinois. And so less rain in that geographic environment, and then even less rain through, you know, what Macoupin Creek would be draining into the river. And so we were hoping for a little bit more clear water. At that, did you guys get a chance to go along the bank of the Illinois yesterday after lunch?
We didn't.
You didn't?
Not really.
No.
Okay.
We did try on the way back from lunch. Sure. Remember I said get a little closer?
Yep.
I mean, we didn't slow down much, but we were trying to just, it was minimal activity.
Okay.
We were pretty set on where we were going last night, so we didn't mess around very much.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, but we did kick up some fish, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think you would have a problem here anywhere finding fish at all. I mean, I think you just
get in the boat.
Yeah, get in the boat and go.
Okay. Yeah. All right. What are some of the other aspects to this that you know, someone with a John boat, you got to get a bow, the bow fishing rig.
Yeah.
Right. You can do it during the day. You don't necessarily need a light rail and all the lights.
Yep. That's right.
Put the trim up, let the motor hum.
That's it.
That's it.
Stay in the boat.
Yeah. Stay in the boat.
Stay in the boat.
And then as they fly, I mean, target-rich environment.
Yep.
Yeah. They fly, you shoot.
Okay. And is there a particular, when all this pandemonium's going on, and these fish are jumping everywhere, some across the boat, some at the boat, some in the boat, some hitting the boat, is there any, like, particular flight pattern that you're looking for?
No, as a matter of fact, when you see that many, you almost stop and you're just like, well, what? It's incredible. We just kind of stopped and watched literally hundreds of fish.
I think we each shot one time and we saw like probably 200 fly out of the water.
It was
really,
yeah,
oh, yeah,
just crazy.
At least, yeah,
it's a spectacle. Just that alone would be worth checking out. I mean, it's.
They weren't jumping on one side. I mean, it was all the way around the entire world. Yeah. They were jumping.
Yeah. And we tend to live in the moment. We're not big get your phone out video guys, but you could hear on this, get your phone out, let's video this. I mean, and so yeah, where we just like put down the bows, like, wow.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. And you would think that if you just launched an arrow through that, You'd get something, but no, apparently not.
Like a kebab.
Right. Fish kebab.
You get a double?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure you could.
Oh, yeah.
Now, does the arrow ever penetrate past the string?
Yeah.
Quite often, yes.
Okay.
Especially on these fish. They seem pretty soft.
Yeah, soft flesh.
Okay. How do you remedy that? You just pull it back through?
Well,
yes.
What we did with Tommy, which seemed to help, was we put a little larger barb on. Arrows have different size barbs, and so he was getting a pull through when he was sticking them. So we went with a larger barb, and that helped. He didn't lose any after that.
All right.
Yeah.
We're going to take another break real quick, hear a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
New Holland CR Twin Rotor Combines from Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville put more premium grain in the bin and save you money while doing it. Compared to competitive brand combines, CR Twin Rotor Combines lose significantly less grain. Independent third-party test results prove it. And CR Twin Rotor Combines use less fuel and harvest faster to save you real money. Finish your season sooner with more grain safely in the storage bin. See Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville about New Holland CR Twin Rotor Combines. They give you performance that pays.
Welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show, brought to you by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. We're coming to you from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-County. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple, kill big deer. Returning, we have Jason, Tom, and Tommy, and we're talking a lot about just how much fun this bow fishing is for these flying carp. And guys, we were just talking during the break, they're so numerous.
Yeah.
If you haven't done it, you got to try it.
You got to try it.
Yeah.
You got to try it. And if you're a dad out there and you're looking for something to do with your kids, where they won't be on the phone, this is the thing, because there's no way you can get after these fish and be on the phone. And it is non-stop action. There is no stopping. It is cool.
Yeah. The only like break, mild break in the action is when you're getting from one school to the next. And you never know when you're getting to the next school, so you're just always on alert.
Yeah.
Or if you're picking a man overboard up.
Yes.
Well, there is a pause there, too. Hey, you know, honestly, though, it was hot, and that was a nice break. We all got cooled off. So, ironically, though, it was pretty deep where you went. And I dove down, and I actually grabbed what I believe to be a catfish. It was definitely a fish, and that was a little surprising. For sure, just right underneath me. It was. We were trying to find some glasses, so that was cool.
Yeah.
So Tommy, I got to know, this was a bucket list thing for you, kind of well, this was a celebration, and Tommy graduated with honors, and I wanted to. I said, "What do you think about going Asian flying carp fishing as kind of a present?" And well, what do you think?
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I'm glad we're doing it. I'm enjoying myself. Mm-hmm. Just wish I would have, you know, shot more, but it's all good. It's fun seeing them flying the boat and whatnot. It's just a cool experience.
You still got more than your dad.
Yeah.
We're still perfecting it. There will be,
for yep. sure.
There will be more opportunities. Yes. That's a guarantee.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And you know, I think from like you guys have said a few different times, there's a lot of opportunity. Like as an outfitter,
it is untapped. It's crazy.
I think you need probably a captain's license to do that.
Yeah.
And you know, but. Man,
Monarch Rivers, Asian flying carp, bow fishing, they will come.
I wish there was more time in the day. with regard to, you know, what are we going to do tonight? What are you going to tell me after missing last night, which was the most action-packed? And what are you going to tell me to do differently tonight that you guys might have learned yesterday?
Stay in the boat.
Right, stay in the boat. Stay dry. Stay hydrated.
Put it in neutral.
right. Don't wrap your bowstring around the kicker motor.
Now, we had a fish on that we both shot at the same time. And I think that, you know, based on how easily Jason uncovered to put it in neutral to get that out.
Yeah, so there you go. That's what you tell them. Yeah. When you wrap it around the prop, put it in neutral.
Yes. Yep. And it will pull. It'll pull out.
Yep.
But you were fussing with that thing for what, 20 minutes?
Kyle went in.
I know.
The
boat came off the shore. Kyle goes in. He's trying to hold back.
Well, you spent 10 minutes trying to do it.
Wasted in water.
Poor guy. That felt terrible.
We found a new spot, and then I'm standing on my head trying to get it off the prop. My back wears out. Hey, Jay. Your turn.
Got it.
He's there for 20. Put it in neutral, Terry.
Unbelievable.
That is an important lesson in this whole thing. Because I'd imagine you guys have done that before.
Never in the kicker motor.
Okay.
So normally in Michigan, we don't run the kicker motor as much because of the weeds. So we're on the trolling motor an awful lot.
Okay.
And that has happened. But I'm usually pretty good about, you know, killing the motor. But you told me, I didn't realize it was already wrapped around the string. And you're like, hey, kill this thing. You know, it had already
spun
up pretty good because I was focusing, you know, on what was going on in front of me.
I thought Jay was driving. That's half the reason I was like, Jay, it's your turn. My back hurts. I'm in the motor. The motor's still going. I'm trying to reel. I can't get any ground. I'm in the motor.
You got to remember, the generator's going. I didn't hear you.
Finally, I was like, hey! Cut this thing off. Oh, man. What a great time. So we've got a few minutes left. Tom, you mentioned something interesting that you're doing in Michigan. I'd love for you to share it.
Okay. So I really do enjoy promoting this sport. We take an awful lot of newbies, like I said. And so right now the law in Michigan is that we're allowed to shoot rough fish only. And what we're going to with Phil Green, he's a representative in my area, we're going to introduce some legislation which will give us the same rights as spear fishermen. So in other words, we'll be able to shoot northern pike, the bag limit, which is just two a day, walleye, and lake trout. Now, I don't know even how many fish we'll get, but on some nights, you see walleye, and it would be really nice to be able to shoot those and put them on ice and take them home for the table.
Yeah.
I mean, just any opportunity to endorse this sport and have more people get out and enjoy it. Because at the end of the day, we really are providing a service.
Mm-hmm.
Carp eat, some of them eat up to 90 pounds of vegetation a day. So when you go through an area in the Saginaw Bay that's big with carp, it's dirty, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they just tear up the vegetation.
Yep.
And they excrete 50% of that of the vegetation without ever processing it. They're just eating machines, and they're non-native. They're invasive. So any opportunity we can do, just like here, to get these Asian flying carp, I mean, it's probably, man, it's crazy. It's a losing battle, I think. But anything we can do to keep those numbers down and promote outdoor sports, people stop living on, you know, on vicariously through what other people are doing on the phone and get out there and do it, man. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like it. It is awesome. So, yeah, I love the sport. I love to promote it, like I said. It's as cool to me as deer hunting.
You're a heck of an ambassador, man. I had no idea what this was going to be like. I knew, okay, we'll be able to get into some fish. I had no idea about water clarity. Yeah. And as we've transitioned and started to get into the fish, now we just have to figure out how to hit them consistently.
Yeah. Well, which, we're all learning, right?
That's sharpshooting.
That's the journey.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like shooting a quail right as it flushes. Mm-hmm. Like, there's, I can't think of a better, you know, example of how fast it has to happen.
Yeah.
But
we just haven't sharpened those skills yet.
If they would all jump about 7 feet high, like some of them do,
yes,
you would have a little more opportunity. But sometimes they may jump only a foot out of the water, but they may jump three times that same fish. Yeah. We've seen that happen. Triple jump, but right, they're only that high.
Or if they would just stay next to the boat for a half a second longer, just let me draw my bow back.
Yeah. I mean, some of the floaters I was trying to time out, but and that's where I felt like I got my best shots.
Yeah. So as they go back in the water?
No, when they just jump out of the water and they seem to be levitating.
Okay, right in the air.
Yeah, so I'm drawn back and they're levitating, that's where I felt like I had my best chance to take aim and let it go.
And let it rip.
But also, it would have been yesterday, I started to see some of that when they do the multiple jumps.
Yes.
And so to tie it in even further to something that you guys were saying is just shoot.
Yeah.
Right? Shoot. So if you have one jump and you're back and you're following it, you're trying to lead it, right when it hits the water, that's an okay time to shoot too, because it seemed like they're staying right there and about to jump again. Yeah. And
so for practice, have somebody skip a stone and try shooting it with an arrow. Yeah. I mean, that's how you practice for this.
And if you hit the stone, you're good.
Yeah. You got it.
But wait a minute. But they can't tell you they're going to skip the stone. No. You just got to be ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Have your back to them as they skip it.
Yep.
Oh, man. All right. Well, Jay, it's always great to crack cold ones and be around you.
Absolutely, man.
And you guys, I've enjoyed this so much.
It's been fun, Aaron. I appreciate
you. Yeah, it's great good seeing stuff. You guys. And Tommy, it's been great getting to know you.
It's been a blast.
Yeah, so thanks for coming in and sharing with everybody what we're trying to accomplish and do out there. And appreciate you.
Yeah, get out there and have at it. It's fun.
Yeah.
Fish loving every day. I want to see them tall pines sway. Y'all close them eyes. Let's go there in our mind. Hunting and fishing and loving every day.